This is a beautiful, beautiful passage that we are dealing with tonight. These 16 verses. In Sets 8, at in 119th Psalms thus far, we have gone through portions of the alphabets. And I've said it before that these alphabets are set up, the Hebrew alphabets are set up so that we would understand, or the people that it was given to would be able to take these alphabets and learn how to memorize the 119th Psalms by the section. We've gone through Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. In our own language, it'd be A, B, and then we have G and D. Again, the Aleph was the ox or the head, or the one that was completely in charge. So imagine you trying to memorize those 8 verses, and you're thinking about a leader, you're thinking about a chief, you're thinking about someone that's in charge. When you get to the next 8th section, it was the bed, the tent, the house, the place where one resides. Then last week we did the gimel, the one that's for camel, and I told you that it's like a camel lifting himself up, calling himself, going to put himself in a position to be in charge. And I tell you, it looked like a backwards K almost with the top part off. Then the Dalet. The Dalet would look, it looks like a T with the little part that crosses over the top of the line moved a little bit too far to the left. That would be called your Dalet. We have 2 other letters tonight. Randall, since you're with me, I can show you one. That's a hey. It almost looks like a small letter N when someone erases a little bit between the gap that goes down in the front on the small letter N, and that will be called a hey. And then the next letter we'll be using is the Vav. And the Vav looks like, it almost like somebody's trying to make a R, but instead of making it correctly, they start at an angle and come down like a hook. And the picture of that is a nail. The picture of the hay is just like this. See me with my hands up? It's like, hey! Open. That's what it's talking about, being open or revealed. And so that word hey, there's a song that Ann likes, and it's called A Mini Tobe. And what's the, how the song go? Anyway, the word hey means behold. And when that word hey is at the front of a word, if it has one of those little vowel marks under it and it's called ha, that hey will reveal the one that it's talking about. Let me give you an idea. If you hear someone say, Hamalek, it's talking about the king. Malek is the king. If it talks about Hashemayim, the waters, or the heavens. So that Ha, or Hamashiach, is talking about the Messiah. So they use those letters as pictures. In the middle of the word, it would be a revealing of something. And since He is the 5th letter, it would be called number 5. Let's just deal with the He right now. And we'll go to the 33rd verse of the 119th Psalms, and let's see how we would hook these together. That's a term for when you use memory, mnemonics, it's spelled with M-N, mnemonics, to lock this in so that we'll be able to put these in our memory to be able to hold it in. So, hey, 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein I do delight. Going back to that hay, I'm open, Lord. I'm open, just like my hands up in the sky, waiting to receive from you, Lord. Teach me, O Lord, and then that, hey, ha, Derek, if remember we talked about Derek before, the way, teach me the way, not any kind of way, but open to me your way of your statutes, your ways, your judgments, and I shall keep them until the end. Open it up to me, Lord. My heart is poured out to you. I'm open. I'm willing to hear your word, Lord. I'm willing to do it your way, Lord. Maybe the writer of this had gotten to the place where he had messed up his life. He may have gotten to the place where he's seen other people mess up their lives. But he says, as for me, teach me. I can't guess it. It can't just happen. And what I feel will matter with you. Oh, Yahweh. Oh, God. My Lord. Teach me your way. And teach me your most magnificent statutes. You have statutes, Lord. You have boundaries. Teach me about your boundaries. Teach me about your conditions. And I shall keep them. Not only will I keep them, but I will observe to do them. I will guard them in my mind. I will not let slackness. I won't let pride. I won't let making myself think that I'm going to stand when I could fall. I won't let that happen. And I will keep it till the end. I will keep it, Lord. I will keep it till the end of my life. I will keep it till I get the reward. I will keep it till I gain the consequence, the benefits of what you're telling me that I'm going to have. Teach me. Teach me. I'm open. 34 says, give me understanding. Give me the ability, Lord, to be able to understand what you're doing, to be able to catch your precepts with my heart. Give me the ability to understand your precepts, merciful Lord. And I shall keep, again the same word, I will keep your Torah. I will keep your teaching. I will keep your instruction. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Randall, one of the saddest things, one of the first things that an individual does when they're getting ready to be taken into wickedness, ungodliness, pride, arrogance, and the fall that will destroy everything that they built up and destroy the purpose that God has for them is not to give God the whole heart, Randall. We must give him the whole heart. That means everything. We can't keep a little part for ourselves. When God is given the whole heart, he can teach the whole heart. He can give the whole heart understanding. When God does not have the whole heart, there's a certain part that we won't allow God to teach us in. There's a certain part of the heart that won't observe God's commandment because we won't allow God to teach us in that portion. We won't allow God to instruct us in that portion. And by not allowing that to happen, what we do is set ourselves up for the fall. Because rest assured, the part that we keep from God is the very part that will rebel against God. That's the very part that will cause us our fall. And he said, I will observe it with my whole heart. First, teach me. Teach me in your way. That's what the way. There's only one way that God wants. And I'll observe it. Then give me understanding, discernment, and I will keep it. I need discernment to keep your law. There are times when I could go against your law, Lord, when I don't even realize it. There are times when I could go against your law because I think what I'm doing is not that bad. It's not that harmful. It is not going to really affect that much. But when I go against your law, Lord, I'm playing the fool. And you don't have my whole heart. The next verse says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein I do delight. Do we delight in his commandments, as this writer says? Do we care about this way? Do you know what a path is? Have you ever seen the street go somewhere, but there's a shortcut between these trees and across this creek that can save you about 3/4 of a mile if you just go this way, and somebody does it, and somebody else does it, and after a while, there's a little path there. And that path gets beaten down. That path gets to the place where an individual can go through there and make what you call make some time. Because sometimes an individual, when they're on a journey, if they're not making time, sometimes they're being held back. So the writer says here, make me to go in the path. Guide me in the path. Take me. Lead me, tread down, cause me to go in the path of your commandments. Your commandments, Randall, his commandments beat down a path for us. His commandment caused us to beat down a path in this wicked, in this ungodly world. It causes us to be able to trot over the briars. It causes us to be able to trot over that so that the path will be clear for us to walk. And then the writer, I almost said David, but I don't believe David wrote this. And the writer says, for therein I delight. Therein is where I get my joy. Therein is where I find favor. Therein is what I take pleasure in. I take pleasure, the writer says, in going through your path. I take pleasure in trodding down what needs to be trodden down. Why can the writer say that? Well, the writer can say that for one is because this is the way God wants it to be done. And in doing it God's way, it's absolutely without a doubt the most beneficent, magnificent way to go. And I'm open to it. I'm open to that. Guide me. The next verse says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Incline my heart. Help my heart to lean that way. I don't need my heart going in every kind of way. I don't need my heart to be caught up with the things of this world. Incline my heart. Make my heart to stretch out, to spread itself, to bend itself to your testimonies, your witness, the things that you have given on your tables of stone. Incline my heart that I will lean to your testimonies. And not to everything that I can get, greed, vanity, etc. Because I'm open, Lord. Incline my heart. I'm willing. I'm giving it to you. Because I know, God, you don't force me to keep your commandments. God, I know you don't force me to go in the path. But I'm asking you, help me. Lead me. Guide me. Correct me as I'm needed so I can do it your way. I'm open. Do you see it? Just like the hands up. I'm open. Incline my heart, God, to your testimonies. Make me to go in your path, Lord. I need to please you. What a magnificent way to pray to the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever. His testimonies, the things that he's done, the witness, his word that has been set up forever. Verse 37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in, there it is again, the way. Remember I said that word, hey, that letter hey, whenever it's used in front of a word and they put that ha there, that would be the way. Again, we use that same word when he talks about the way that we've talked about as derech. And that's a journey. That's a manner of life. It's a course of life. And this man is saying, turn away. Turn away my eyes from vanity. Don't allow my mind to go and my eyes to go and fight against me. Cause my eyes to pass over. Cause my eyes to be away from the things that will hurt me. caused my eyes to pass over, to cross over, to go around, to stay away from beholding, from having my eyes open, from having my eyes looking, from having my eyes set upon something that's worthless, whether it be money, whether it be vengeance, whether it be porn, whether it's a relationship that I should not have, whether it's idolatry, whether it's trying to set up my own way and not being open to you. Turn the thoughts of my head from beholding vanity. That word beholding there has part of the word where it has a hymene in it. But in this one, the word is mene, from, and it says, from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. And quicken thou me. Cause me to be alive. Cause life to be restored in me. Cause me to live in your way. Oh, what a magnificent thing to be open like that. Do you realize when you pray a prayer like that, that's a powerful thing, and I'll talk about it in just a minute. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to your fear. Establish it. Cause it to rise up. Establish your word, Lord. Your word needs to be established in me. Cause your word to be established in me. Cause it to raise up in me. Cause it to erect or build something in me. Establish your word, the word that comes from your mouth. Establish within your servant the things that you've spoken about, the things that come from your teaching, the one who is devoted to your fear. I'm open, Lord. I'm open. I'm open to being terrified to violate you. I'm open to fear and respect you with piety, with reverence. I am so open that this is my prayer. Verse 40 says, behold. 39, thank you. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Turn away, I'm open. Turn away my reproach. Turn away those that would come against me. Turn away my shame. Turn away any disgrace that I have. Turn away my reproach. Move it from me. Get my reproach. Don't let me come into there and trespass. Don't let that thing get and wear me out. Do you see, there are times when people have reproach. It's on them and it's coming upon them. Why? Because people have certain ways that they live, and their reproach, anything that can bring you back, is ready. So cause it to pass over me. Cause it to leave me. Cause it to cross over. Cause it to be taken away from me. I don't need reproach. Turn it away, which I fear. I'm open. What will it take to turn it away? Your judgments are good, Lord. Your judgments. The things that you stand for, Lord. The decrees that you made, Lord. The sentence that you pronounced, Lord. Turn away my reproach. Don't let it come on me. I fear that because I know who you are. I know what your judgments are. Turn away my reproach because I fear your judgment, but they are good. Your judgments are good. When I violated your judgments, when I want to violate it, whether it's accidental, because I'm not paying attention, and it's time for you to do what you need to do to me. That was the time when David said, and his reproach came upon him, and everybody, I'm not going to say every living person, but people knew. But he asked God to be justified. I told God to be justified when he judged. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgment is good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. That word is hine, to behold. And when it says, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in righteousness. That's that word of that song that I was talking about earlier today in light, where it says, he named my Tobah. And it, she knows what it means. She likes to sing it. But when it says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. This is the very thing that I desired. This is the very thing that I waited for. This is the very thing that I desired. I desire your precepts, your statutes. I desire what you set up, and give me life in your righteousness. I'm open to all of that. What in the world does all this stuff mean, Tim? I believe the way you look at this passage, if you were going to try to remember it and pull the juice out of it, listen to this. Oh Lord, I'm open. I'm open to you. I want to walk with you. I want to be who you want me to be. I ask you, one, to teach me your ways. I'm open. Teach me your statutes. I'm open, whatever it takes to teach me, whether it's by your precept, whether it's by your word, whether it's through judgment, whether it's through chastisement, whether it's through taking stuff from me, whether it's giving me blessing, whatever I need, whether it's letting me be aware of what's going on, teach me your statutes. I will keep it till the end. But then, Lord, if you teach me, give me understanding that I may be able to keep your instruction. And I'll observe it with my whole heart. I'm open. Do these things. Help me. Then make me go in the path of your commandments. Your commandments lead me in the path in such a way that whatever I need to tread down, I can. Your commandments, I do delight in it. I'm open. Help me in this. I can't do it by myself, but neither will you do it for me. I need to be open so that your grace will enable me to do what's necessary. I ask you, because I'm open, to incline my heart to your testimonies. Show me the beauty of your testimonies, your witnesses, and not to covetousness, so that I'll be worried about the wrong thing, and that I got idolatry, that I'm wanting this, that, and the other, and I'm forgetting about you. Turn, incline my eyes to you, so that I will see that. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, because if my heart is inclined to your testimony, then my eyes need to get away from vanity, so I can be quickened in your way. I'm open. This is what I'm open to. Can we pray that way to the Lord? And then he says, Lord, I'm open. Establish your word unto your soul. Build it up. Establish it. If you need to chasten me, if you need to correct me, if it's time to reward me, if it's time to rebuke me, if it's time for me to stretch out and do whatever you said, like you had Elijah, to do what was necessary. Establish your word unto your servant, whatever it takes. Establish it. I'm open to that. I'm devoted to your fear. So whatever happens, since I'm devoted to your fear, I don't need to worry about being afraid of men. But then turn away my reproach. Turn it away, Lord. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for your judgments are good. You're not the one to be played with. Any reproach that I have, you can turn it away. I fear your judgment. I have respect to your judgment. But if I violate you, I am afraid of your judgments. Behold, I long for your precepts. I'm open. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Not mine, like in the camel, in the gimel, where it was pride. I'm open. I'm open. My hands are outstretched just like in prayer. Quicken me in your righteousness. Not the thoughts that I have and not what the culture gives. That's the hay. That's the open. That's ready. Behold. Behold. Look. I want all of that open or revealed to me. That's what I need. I'm open. I'm open, reveal it. I'm open, reveal it. I'm open, show up. Behold. Behold. Let thy servant behold it. Let thy servant heart see it. Let thy servant meditate on it. Let thy servant just let me have the opportunity to see what it is, Lord, that you want me to see. Now I'm going to just give someone, if they would like, the opportunity to have anything that they'd like to say on those first eight. And if I don't hear anybody, then I'll move on. But I'm just going to at least give somebody a moment because those first eight, I like. Maybe nobody else did, but I did.
I like them too, Cam.
Thank you.
It reminded me of when we went through Deuteronomy 26. Wasn't it 26 that we went through last week?
I think it was 26.
And how they had vowed that they would do this commandment, the Israelites, where they actually made the covenant and when God vowed he would do certain things, and they also vowed that they would follow in his word. And I think Moses probably would be proud of his purpose.
Very much.
How?
I said very much.
Because he seems, whoever it is, seems to understand how important keeping his word to God, understanding the vow that was made, and walking in the way that God has commanded. He seems to understand that his life is tied up in those commandments and walking in them. And I started reading 27, and it talked about, and in several places it spoke about Moses and the Levites and the elders all coming and being commanded to actually teach the people. And just looking at this, this person seems to say, okay, well, I may have prophets and I may have leaders, I may have elders, I may have the Levites, but it's God who I want to teach me, because these commandments came from him. Because, you know, sometimes we can have a bad teacher, and sometimes our understanding is only as good as the teacher. And we see that today in the church, you know, that people lack understanding because their teachers are not teaching them. And neither are they going into the world to find out God's commandments for themselves. But I see that he's asking God to teach him and to give him understanding. And that's something that, you know, when I first started reading the Bible, I would, you know, pray that God would give me understanding, because I didn't understand exactly the Bible, because I was starting in the middle. But once I did start from the beginning, I began to understand his word. So that's pretty much what I saw in that, and I really did enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much. When you think about behold, and you think about the way I explained the behold, that I'm open, you make you think of Dalit, where there was a door open. But I want us to think about behold in the sense of I want to see it. I want you to reveal it. I want you to show it. And I'm open to see it. I'm open to do it. I'm open to learn. That's why I said, teach me. I'm open to understand. Give it to me. I'm open to walk the walk. Guide me in that way. I'm open to stay away from covetousness. Incline my heart. I'm open to keep my mind and my eyes right. Turn me away from wickedness. I'm open to be somebody you can depend on in this dirty, wicked, nasty, filthy earth. And I'm asking you to establish me in this world. I'm open, Lord. I want you to reveal to me the very way to stay away from your reproach. Turn me away from it. Because I wanna stick with your ordinances. And then lastly, I wanna be strong in the way of righteousness. Reveal it to me. Say to me, behold, this is the way. Say to me, behold, this is the way. Behold, this is how you do your heart, your mind, whatever it is you want to do. This is the way. I am open to have it revealed to me. And I think, you know, just going through this passage will alter some of my prayers for a while, because I know it's going to keep coming back to me what I just taught. I know it will. I'm going to move on to the Vav, and then if there's any other discussion, we can go to that. The Vav, in some of your Bibles, it might call it W-A-W, Wah, but it's the Vav, and you just understand that in the Hebrew that they would have used that letter to do that. That represents a nail or a peg, something to nail something together, something to fasten something to another thing. Usually if it's used in the front of a word, it would be the word and, A-N-D. Remember that song years ago? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up phrases and sentences and clauses. And is a conjunction. You can say Tim and Randall were there. Who? Tim and Randall. Both of them, not just Tim, not just Randall. There's the Bob. Tim, Bob, Randall. Or Randall, Bob, Tim. Tim and Randall were there. And the word is the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So they would use that also for the number six. And that letter, again, it doesn't look like what we would call a nail, unless you imagine somebody hitting a nail and they kind of glancing a little bit and it bend a little bit on the top. That's what it looks like. Did they use it for a nail or a wooden peg? And it is used to join things together. And the beautiful thing about this is we want to see how in the world is this going to bind something together in this passage. So the first thing we need to do is look at the scripture and see what the scripture has to say to us. Verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. Verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Let's take the first half of these and let's see what's going on. First, that writer said, let thy mercies come. I don't know a man alive that don't need God's mercies. So if you were going to take this scripture and you were going to learn how to memorize this scripture, and in your mind you're trying to, in your mind, nail something to this scripture to memorize it, wouldn't you want to think, if you want to nail God's mercies to you? I need your mercies, Lord. I can't make without your mercies. There's too much going on in this world. Too much I don't know. Too much that sometimes even when I don't feel well, I might move outside of your will. I want you to nail. I want to be bound to your said, your loving kindness, your mercy. So whenever I do fall outside of your will, that you'll have pity on me. That you in your rebuke, in your reproach, in your chastening, or even if sometimes it's a rebuke of your word, if that's enough, I want to be bound to your mercies. Let your mercies come unto me. Oh Lord, even thy salvation, I want to be bound in your deliverance. I don't want to be caught up in anything. I don't want to be bound to Moloch or Baal. I don't want to be bound in an illicit relationship. I don't want to be bound up in covetousness. I don't want to be bound in my own way. I want to be bound in your salvation. Because if I'm bound in any other way, there is no salvation or deliverance to me. But I want to be bound in your salvation according to your word. Because, Lord, many people will speak of your salvation, and it won't be according to your word. Sometimes people will say, you don't mean what you say, Lord. Sometimes people will say, Lord, that your mercy is there whenever it's time for your judgment. Sometimes people will say, Lord, we can do anything as long as we make the animal sacrifices. Lord, I want your mercy to be bound to me. I want your salvation bound to me according to your word. I don't want it to be somebody giving me the counterfeit. I want to be bound to the truth. And being bound to the truth, I have to rebuke somebody. I might have to say something hard. Let's look and see how this works out. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. What do you mean, Tim? What are you saying, Tim? If I have your mercy and your salvation bound to me according to your word. Somebody has the wrong thing to say. Somebody might say something to blaspheme me. Somebody might reproach me or defy me, but I got to answer to him because I'm bound to your word. I'm bound to your salvation. Why is that, Tim? Because I asked you when I was open to teach me. I asked you to guide me. I asked you to incline my heart. Now I want to be bound to your mercy. I want to be bound to your salvation according to your word. And when somebody got the wrong thing to say, it ain't no big deal. No big deal is around them. Because I don't know what I'm bound to. I don't try to mix what you got to say with everybody. I don't try to mix your way with the way of the ungodly. I don't even try to mix with the way of the false prophet that's calling your name. Because what it is that I've asked you. And now I'm trying to be bound to the truth. Verse 43 says, and not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Lord, don't take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I hoped in your judgment. You have to reverse that to get the juice out of that. When he says, and not take the word of truth out of my mouth, bind the word, nail the word of truth to my mouth. As the way David said in the 19th Psalm, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here the writer says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I want the word of truth to stay in my mouth. I want your faithfulness, your reliability, your divine instruction, your body of ethical and your religious knowledge and doctrine. I want it to stay in my mouth, for I have hope in your judgments. Therefore, I don't need to say what Dr. So-and-so said, or Rabbi So-and-so said, or what this prophet said, unless they say what you said. If they're not saying what you say, give me the power to not let that come out of my mouth, but I'll speak what you had to say. Mail it to me. Bind it to me. Because that's the kind of man that I want to be. That's the kind of man you want to be, Randall? If that's the kind of man you want to be, I'm telling you, people are going to try to pry it out of you. They're going to try to make it leave you because it's not going to be the thing that they want to hear. And the next verse says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. You see, one of the keys to this thing is if the thing is bound to your mouth, it must be bound in your heart. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember when he was saying, talking about he was open, how he asked God to let his word, that it would be in his heart? Why did he want it in his heart? I don't know if the man fully understood it, but truly whenever something is in your heart, you're right. Listen to what he said again in that 34th verse. Give me understanding that I may observe thy Torah, your instruction, your law, and keep it with all my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. This means I want your word nailed to my mouth. If you want God's word nailed in your mouth, let it be nailed in your heart. If it's not in your heart, oh, you might be able to say some of it. But it won't be the kind of thing that you'll keep forever and ever. You'll be just like Shaitan or Satan, the devil, the adversary. People talking about the devil knows the Bible. What's wrong with them? He saw Adam and Eve. He knew how tall Adam was and what he looked like. And he saw Cain and Abel. He knows more than what the Bible. So the Bible gives you excerpts. He knew what their faces looked like when they were cast out of the garden. Just knowing is not enough. That thing got to be bound in your heart. So when it come out of your mouth, it means something. Verse 45, which is so precious. And I will walk. I don't mean to clap my head too loud because it sounds badly on the recording. But it says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy statutes. Well, Tim, how does that fit? Well, remember, when that thing is nailed to your mouth, because it's bound in your heart, your walk can be at liberty. What do you mean, Tim, be at liberty? Well, you got somebody saying the wrong thing. You can be at liberty. You can walk with your heart open. You can walk with a broad and a wide look at the particular time, because you're walking with the Lord. You're doing like you need to be doing. And you can walk at liberty. You can walk at large and do what's necessary to be done. You don't have to be hide. You're basically free to do what's necessary. Why? Because you seek His precepts. They don't bind you with what they have to say. They don't take away from you that which you need, because you bound yourself to the precepts of the Lord God Almighty. And because of that, you can speak of God's witnesses and His testimony before kings and not be ashamed. Guess what, Randall? On Thursday night, we're dealing with the man that's going to have to do that. His name is Saul. He's going to be turned to Paul. And because he will have God's word in his mouth, because he will bind himself so much to God, that when he goes before kings, magistrates, he does not bite his tongue. A beautiful picture of what happened. But you don't have to go that far. You can go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah told the man that God's gonna make you be taken into bondage, tear up your palace, kill the people that live around here, and burn the temple. And they were basically saying Jeremiah was doing treason. But Jeremiah, he still spoke God's word. He still spoke God's testimonies and his witnesses. And he did it before kings. And he was not ashamed. What about us? Maybe we can't speak it because we don't have the bond. We're not nailed to it. We're not bound to his commandments. And therefore, when you're not bound to his commandments, it's easy for a person to be ashamed. It's easy for a person to feel disconcerted, disappointed. But if you really bound to God's covenant, God's going to cover himself by making his word come to pass. And the scripture says in verse 47, and I will delight myself. I'm not ashamed. I'm delighting myself. Do you see it? Because I'm bound to his commandments. When they think I should be ashamed, when they think I should be scared, I'm delighting myself in his commandments, which I love. I don't let the circumstances determine what I love. I love the word of God, whatever the circumstances are, whether I'm going to be locked up like Paul, whether I'm locked up like Jeremiah. I love the commandments of God. I love the commandments of God. I love the commandments. I love the ordinances of God, his code of wisdom, because like I said, when I was talking about behold, or when we talked about that, hey, I want to keep them forever and ever, because there's reward in it. I might not see it now. God is faithful. And therefore, the only thing that I want to do is be bound. I need your grace to be bound to your commandments. Blessed everlasting name. This is between the cherubim. Verse 48. My hands will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I've lifted up my hands. That's the place where they would do prayer. Sometimes they would lift their hands. They would show regard to God. They would show that they were humbling themselves to God. That they were looking to God to be their strength. They were looking for God to be their provider. And I will lift up my hands to your commandments. I'm so bound by it that I lift up. That's who I give my regard to. Your commandments, because they proceed from your blessed mouth. I got my life from your mouth. Man got the life from God. With God breathing the man's nostril with breath of life, man became a living soul. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. I lift up my hands to your commandments, which I have loved. I love your commandments, Lord. Your commandments are right. Your commandments are just. Your commandments give to us what we need. And I lift up my hands to them. What do we lift up our hands to? And then the psalmist says, and I will meditate in your statutes. The word here is siach. Listen to this. That word speaks of to meditate upon, to study, to talk about, to sing, to speak of, to ponder, to consider in one's thoughts. I'll keep your thoughts in my mind. I will meditate on your statutes, your ways, and your judgments. I want to be bound to everything that you have that will benefit me. Why is that? Because, Lord, when I ask you to reveal yourself to me, when I open yourself to me, I wasn't playing. I did that so that I could be bound to the truth. I did it so I could be bound to the truth, so that when error came, I would not have to be ashamed, so that when error came, I could speak against error, so that when oppression came, whether it was from kings or whatever, I could still stand, I could still find my joy, because I'm bound to your statutes, I'm bound to your teaching, I'm bound to your commandments, and I lift up my hands to them. That's who I give my regard to, and that's what I meditate on. Not what make other people like me. Because I want to be bound to your word. If I'm bound to your word, Lord, then I'm good. And then all the revealing that you've given to me is the very thing that will keep me from being prideful. The very thing that you've given to me is the same thing that when you open your way to me through the door, I can walk in. It's the very thing that I can abide in your house. It's the very thing that I can follow you, because you are the head. You are the chief. You are the leader. Don't tell me that the writer of this, when he set up that acrostic, the A, B, C, D, or the Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, didn't know what he was talking about. It's a beautiful thing, and I like it. But where do we stand? Are we open to let God reveal himself to us? Do we want him to reveal himself to us so that we can give him our whole heart? Do we want him to reveal himself? Are we open to him to get our whole heart and mind and give nothing to the wicked, ungodly devil? Who are we anyway? Are we really serious about this thing? Are we open to him to reveal to us, so much so that you reveal yourself to us that we don't turn our eyes to the left or the right to behold vanity so he can give us life? Do we want him to reveal his word to us so that we can be established? Do you know it might take something that we don't like? If he reveals himself to us, he can keep us from reproach. Believe me, God is just and he's faithful. If you deserve reproach, you're going to get it. Do you want to be strengthened in his righteousness? If you do, you have to have yourself open up to his revelation. Not a revelation that you just come up in your mind, because when he got to the valve and the nail, he said, I want to know the truth, your word, the truth of your word, so that I can answer somebody that got too much mouth. So don't let your mercy leave me. Nail it to me. Your salvation according to your words. And I'll keep the truth. I'll live the truth forever and ever. Then I'll be able to be abroad. I'll be able to be at large. I'll be able to walk at liberty, because I'll keep your testimonies. And nobody, king, prince, whatever, can make me ashamed, because I want to be bound to you. I'll delight myself in your commandments. I will love your commandments. I'll lift up my hands and show regard to your commandments no matter what happened. And I won't meditate on what happens to me. I'll meditate on your commandments and your statutes so that you'll be pleased with me. You know, in teaching this, I want this to be me. Now, I don't know what that means I'll have to go through. But I believe the Lord is pleased with a person who would say that and mean it. That's who I would like anybody that God allows me the chance to teach to be, but especially me. This man right here is talking like he knows that I could fall away from God's grace. If I don't let God continually reveal himself to me, God revealing himself to you one time is not enough. You have to continually let God reveal himself to you and allow yourself to be bound to it. Well, I've enjoyed this message tonight, and I'm hoping that if there's anybody that has not fix themselves in a position to let God reveal himself to them no matter what, that they make that change. If there's someone that knows that they're not bound to God's word like they should, that they would pray and ask God, bind them to his word so that they don't play the fool and come up short in the day of judgment. Now, opening up for discussion. Anybody want to discuss anything on this passage that I believe is so magnificent? May do so now. Well, I'm going to close it. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for everything that you've shown us in it. I ask you to give us the mindset to look for you to reveal yourself to us in every aspect of life, through your word, through our walk, through chastisement, through reward, through benefit, through the lives of others, through the lives of those that we read about in the scriptures, so that we can just be open to be the kind of people that you would have us to be, so that we'll be focused on you, our heart will be inclined to you. Then I ask you to give us the mindset to bind ourselves with whatever it takes to your word, your ways, your statutes, and your testimonies, because we're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged by people's mouths, and we can also be tested or challenged by governments. If we meditate on your word the way it truly is, your mercies and your salvation will be fine. Help us, I ask you, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.